You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
It's so good that we can gather together as a church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Renu. I'm one of the pastors here at Gateway, and I'm so excited to come around the word with you this morning. You know, friends, this year we've been focusing on discipleship and learning and activating the ways of Jesus. Our declaration scripture for the year is from 1 John 2:6. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. And you know, our heart as a pastoral team, our heart as we minister the word, that we as a faith community, that we as followers of Jesus will continue to learn and grow together in activating the ways of Jesus. So with that in mind, my message title for today is Being with Jesus, Doing for Jesus. This is a two-part message Pastor Rachel and I will share with the church. So today is part one. I will introduce serving as something that Jesus taught the disciples. But as the title suggests, being with Jesus, doing with Jesus, that the being with Jesus is crucial in the doing. Next week, Pastor Rachel will delve deeper into how Jesus models serving. You know, friends, last week Pastor Lee preached a powerful message about knowing truth and how truth brings about freedom. And my prayer is that as we look at the Bible passages today, that God's word, which is alive and active, as it says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God that is living and active, that is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart, that God's word that is alive and active will discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart, that his word won't just be information, but it'll be revelation of truth. But from that revelation of truth, there will be transformation that comes about. Transformation, the truth will bring freedom, joy, and peace in our lives. So would you join me as we open in prayer? Lord God, I just thank you for your word, that it is alive and active, that it gets to the heart of the matter in our lives. And I just pray that as I speak, Holy Spirit, that you would minister to each of our hearts, that you will bring revelation of your truth, and that you will bring transformation to our lives, so that we can walk in greater freedom, greater joy, greater peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I normally like to poll the room to gather some information about everyone here. So I've got a question or a statement that may have different responses. So this statement may be a bit controversial, but I think dogs are better than cats. All right. Oh, I've got a resounding answer there. So if you agree with me, dogs are better than cats. Who agrees? Okay, a few hands there. Who says cats are better than dogs? Yeah, a few hands there as well. Who is a bit indifferent, like I don't like furry things at all? Yeah, I know a couple of people like that. And who's like, oh, they're all kind of the same. I don't really mind either way. Yep, a few there. So dogs are better than cats is the general consensus. Now, I have a biological bias because I'm allergic to cats. So naturally, I like dogs more. But you know, the thing I really like about dogs, and if you have a dog or you've been around a dog, you can probably relate to this, is that they always want to be with you. Like, you know, you can be sitting on the couch or sitting somewhere and you kind of move away a little bit and you notice something shimmy towards you a bit. It's like they need to be near you. And, you know, it made me think about this in terms of, like, is that how, like, I want my relationship with God to be? Like, do I want to be with him like a puppy dog is, like, always wanting to be near you, be in close proximity with you? That's something we've been talking about the last few weeks, about being with Jesus, being in close proximity with him. And the challenge for me is, like, is my heart desiring to be with God just like that eagerness that a dog has to be with a human being? See, when Jesus called his disciples, the Bible says it was to be with him. In Mark 3:14, and he appointed 12 disciples so that they would be with him for instruction, and so that he could send them out to preach the gospel as apostles. That is, as his special messengers, personally chosen representatives. Jesus chose the disciples so that they would be with him, abide with him, remain with him, be in close proximity with him. And you know, in that scripture, the word "so that" is used twice, and it can be translated to mean in order that, or for the purpose of. See, Jesus called the disciples for purpose, to be with him. Their first purpose was to be with him. It says there, for instruction, to learn from him, to be taught from him. But then there was another "so that" for the purpose of sending them out to share the gospel. Jesus called the disciples to be with him in order for them to do for him or with him. So how does that apply to us today, my friends? The invitation is still the same today. Jesus calls us to be with him, to come to him, to know him, to learn from him, to lean on him. John 6:37 says this. Jesus said this in John 6:37. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. That's the promise you have, that you can come to him and he will never drive you away. In Matthew 11:28-29, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. See, the invitation today is still to come to Jesus, to be with Jesus. But let's be honest, the reality is the disciples had the benefit of Jesus in human form. We don't have Jesus in human form to be with in that same way. So what does it look like to be with Jesus today? Can I give you a few examples? Being in his word, the Bible, that's the primary method God communicates his truth. Reading the Bible, listening to it, if you like Audible or other apps like that, listening to preaching messages, doing a Bible reading plan with friends, these are the ways we can be with Jesus. Personal time with God, whether that's prayer, whether that's just sitting in stillness and listening, whether that's engaging in worship in your room, in your office, in your car. Corporately gathering as a community of believers like we're doing today. This is part of being with Jesus. Being here today, you are being with Jesus. Engaging in worship, hearing the word, prayer, we are being with Jesus in this space. Can I encourage you that this being with Jesus can look different in different seasons of life for different people. You know, as Ozzy was sharing about River, her ability to be with Jesus may look a little bit different to my ability without a little one to be with Jesus. But there's still a space for all of us to be with Jesus. Can I encourage you though? It's intentional, it's continuous, and it's consistent. You know, I liken it a little bit to learning to play or playing a musical instrument. How many people here can play a musical instrument? I cannot, so I cannot put my hand up. Sadly, my mom is a piano teacher, but sadly I'm unable to play the piano. And the reason for that is I was never intentional, continuous, or consistent in learning to play. See, she tried, but I never wanted to be consistent and continuous in playing. And you know, I liken sometimes being with Jesus as a continuous, consistent, intentional practice. A little bit of practice every day, a little bit of development, you grow in your ability to be with Jesus, and there's an ease and a development that comes with it. So friends, can I encourage you, let's be people that together grow in wanting to be with Jesus. But you know, Jesus also called his disciples to be with him so that they could do. Jesus called the disciples to be with him for instruction, to learn his ways. And one of the things Jesus spoke about was serving. We see this in a passage in Mark chapter 10, verse 35 to 45. I won't read the whole passage, but in a summary, pretty much James and John are like, we want the authority. We want to sit next to you when you're on the throne, Jesus. Will you give us this position of authority? The other disciples hear this and they're like, what? Who do these guys think they are? And they're indignant, but Jesus uses this as a teaching moment. We read from verse 42 in Mark 10. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, even Jesus came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus in that passage teaches his disciples that his way is different to that of the world. It's different to the world we live in today that says, you know, authority, to flaunt your authority, to lord it over people. You know, in our society, being elevated, being promoted, being famous are all things that are highly valued. But Jesus says whoever wants to lead his way should serve. My friends, Jesus calls you and I to serve. The Greek word for serve, diakoneo, can be translated to mean to wait on, to minister to help, to attend to the needs of, to care for. So what does this mean? What does this look like? See, I sometimes think we can hear, and I know I've done this myself, we can sometimes hear the word serving and we think of serving in this context here, in a church setting, you know, on the hospitality team in the cafe or welcoming people at the door, the host, being on the creative team, serving in children's ministry like our team is doing today. And you know, that's definitely a part of it. However, can I propose to you today that serving is a posture we adopt in all we do in everyday life. Thank you, Fifi. Just gave me the fingers that you're going too fast. Slow down. Serving is a posture that we adopt in all we do in everyday life. Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul. That is, put in your very best effort as something done for the Lord and not for men. Whatever you do, do for the Lord, because you are serving Him, not just serving the people around you. Let me encourage you, my friends, whatever God has entrusted you for this season, wherever God has placed you at the moment, maybe it's being a primary caregiver, caring for young kids, providing for your family, studying, working in an office, working in a trade, volunteering in community, serving someone in the community, helping them with their shopping to cross the road. Serving is a posture that we can apply to all we do. See, Paul describes how Jesus models serving in a passage in Philippians 2, verses 3 to 9. Pastor Rachel will delve into this a bit deeper. But Paul in verse 5 says this. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. He asks us to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. He goes on in verse 6 to 9, he says, though by nature Jesus was God, he didn't consider being God a reason to use that to his advantage. Instead, he humbled himself, taking on the nature of a servant, humbled himself to go to the cross for you and I so that we could be restored to right relationship, as we heard about in communion, paying the price for our wrongdoing so we could be restored to right relationship. Jesus took on the humble nature of a servant. Can I propose today that serving involves a posture of humility? What does humility mean? Having a modest opinion of oneself, behaving in an unassuming manner, a posture of laying aside personal status, gain, and selfishness. See, this echoes what Jesus said in Luke 9:23. If you want to be my disciple, lay down your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Can I encourage you that serving is a posture of looking to others, not just ourselves? In Philippians 2 verse 4, it talks about not looking to just your interests, but that of the others. To care for, to help, to love as Jesus did. But can I encourage you this morning, my friends, that it's also probably important to note what humility isn't. It's not about belittling yourself or diminishing who God has called you to be or created you to be. Can I encourage you to allow God to reveal his truth of who he says you are? You know, Pastor Lee sent out an email earlier this week with some great scriptures about who God says you are. I'd encourage you to read that and agree with the truth of who he says you are. But you know, humility also isn't about being a pushover or a martyr in all things and not having healthy boundaries and letting everyone tell you everything you need to do at all times. Humility, serving, requires setting good, healthy boundaries in how others treat you and how you value yourself as well. Serving is the posture we can apply to all we do. Can I encourage you, though, that serving is not to be required to be done in our own strength? In fact, it's probably better if we don't do it in our own strength. We can ask God to help us, ask Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. We see this in Philippians 2:13. Paul says, yes, it is God who is working in you. He helps you do what pleases him, and he gives you the power to do it. I think that's a pretty amazing promise, that God gives you the ability and the power to do what he calls you to do. So I don't have to rely on my serving being a posture and everything I do only on my own strength. I can say, hey, God, I need your help with this. Would you give me the strength and ability? And that's something I can relate to. Like, I need that on a daily basis. You know, some days I feel unmotivated to go to work as a pharmacist. Does anyone ever feel unmotivated to go to work? Yep. And it's like, you know, I've got the can't be bothered. It's the Monday morning blues. You feel the can't be bothered. You know, and I have to be deliberate in saying, Holy Spirit, you have called me to this workplace for a reason. Would you give me your strength and ability? Because right now I don't really feel like it. Like, I'd rather stay at home and have a day off. Yeah. But you know what, as I ask him, like, I get strength. Like, I feel I've got that grace and that ability to go into my week and say, you have got me in this, lead me and guide me in this. Serving is a posture we can apply to all that we do. But you know, this all we can do can sometimes be a lot, right? The all we do, our lives can be full and busy. They can be hectic. They can have moments of stress with lots happening. So much so that sometimes we can get caught up in the doing. We begin to neglect the first part, being with Jesus, doing with Jesus, the being with Jesus. See, Peter Scazzaro, in his book Emotionally Healthy Discipleship, emphasizes how important it is that we have the being before the doing. That doing without the being does violence to our souls, our minds, our will and emotion. So can I encourage you this morning that being with Jesus is the priority? We see Jesus expressing this in his account of him visiting Mary and Martha. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her." Friends, we see two different postures in this story. The posture of Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him, listening to his teaching, being with him, the being with Jesus. You know, this was unconventional at that time for a woman because women were not allowed to sit at the feet of the teacher. They often had to sit at the back of the room and listen to the teacher. But her posture was like, "I want to be in proximity with you. I want to be close to you. I want to listen to you. I want to learn from you and be taught by you." Sitting, it says in verse 39, her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But we see the posture of Martha here. She was busy serving. She was doing for Jesus, preparing a dinner for him. You know, Martha being busy serving itself doesn't seem like the issue because I don't hear Jesus saying, "Martha, you shouldn't serve." Instead, he confronts her heart condition, her actions, her words, her emotions. He says, "You're worried, you are upset. Martha was distracted. She complains about the injustice or the indignance about that it's unfair that Mary's not helping her. Perhaps there's some resentment towards Mary." But I love Jesus' heart here. I love how he responds. He says, lovingly encourages her, "My dear Martha, my dear Martha." Jesus emphasizes Mary's heart condition, that she has chosen the one thing of worth, being with Jesus as the team comes. That Mary had chosen the one thing, being with Jesus in that moment, listening to him, being taught by him. See, this echoes David's one thing. Psalm 27, verse 4, David says this, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." See, David was called a man after God's own heart. And I'm sure he had a lot to do, like being the king and all. You have a few tasks to get done. But I love his heart. His one thing that I want to be with you, God. I want to be in your presence. But what does this mean for us today, friends? How does this apply to us? Yes, we are called to do, to serve a posture that we apply to all we do. But it should not be at the expense of being with Jesus. Being with Jesus is the priority. And you know, you might say to me today, "Well, that's all, like, that's good for you to say, but like, you don't understand my life. It's busy, it's full. How can I get all these things I've got to get done if I'm focusing on being with Jesus?" Let me encourage you again that being with Jesus can look different in different seasons of life. Yes, you may have a young family, you might work multiple jobs, you might be balancing working and studying. Your job might require you to bring work home. Your physical capacity to spend time with Jesus or do things could be reduced due to age or health concerns. But can I encourage you? There's little incidental ways that you can be intentional and deliberate about continuously and consistently spending time with Jesus, being with Jesus. Can you be consistent and spend a few minutes worshiping in your car? Perhaps you could start with reading the Bible for 5 minutes when you wake up or before you go to bed. Perhaps it might work to have a 2-minute prayer time daily before you eat, at bedtime, before you watch TV. You know, whatever it looks like for you, whatever it works, that there is a way to be continually and consistently intentional in being with Jesus. And you know, I liken it a little bit to exercise. See, to be healthy, the Australian guidelines recommend that we spend at least 30 minutes on more of 5 or more days a week in exercise. But something that they say in the guidelines is it doesn't mean exercise doesn't mean you go for like a 30-minute run. They talk about incidental exercise. So that's where perhaps you take the stairs rather than taking a lift. Or perhaps rather than parking right up by the shops, you park maybe 400 metres away, so you do an 800-metre walk with your shopping. Or perhaps it's doing gardening or cleaning while as part of your exercise or to be physically active. So can I suggest to you that, you know, those little intentional, deliberate, continuous practices, they might not be a big thing, but just as physical exercise is good for our bodies, that intentional, that deliberate, incidental moments of time that we spend with being Jesus is essential for our emotional, for our mental and our spiritual health. That it's not something that can easily give away and just go, I don't have time for that, because it has so much value for your life. And can I also propose to you today that being with Jesus gives you the ability to do for Jesus. Being with Jesus gives you the ability to do with Jesus. I'll say that again, that being with Him gives you the ability to do for Him and do with Him. See, being with Jesus gives you the grace, the desire and ability to do all that you need to do. Hebrews 4:16 says this, "So let us now come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we receive His mercy and find grace to help us when we need it most." Boldly, we can come to Jesus and say, "I need your grace. I need your strength in this season. I'm navigating a mountain that seems impossible to climb, but your grace is sufficient for me. Your grace is made perfect in my inability, in my weakness." And you know, this being with Jesus, to do for Jesus, is something I'm continuing to learn. See, not too long ago, I was navigating what I felt was like an overwhelmingly busy season. I had picked up some extra work. I had various commitments I had to try and meet. We were in the process of preparing to move from one house to another. And there was a lot, it seemed like there was a lot on my plate. And I could very much relate to Martha. You know, I felt distressed. I felt stressed. I felt overwhelmed, heightened by everything that was happening. And you know, like Martha did, I kept complaining to God that I'm feeling stressed. I'm feeling overwhelmed. But you know, one day I was talking to Bevan about it and he said quite nonchalantly, you know, "Didn't Jesus say my yoke should be easy and my burden should be light?" Now I say he says it nonchalantly because he can't even remember having that conversation with me at all. But you know, saying that started me on this like journey of asking God from that scripture, Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And it was the revelation of truth that Holy Spirit brought to me that, yeah, wow, I was trying to do all these things in my own strength. Like, you know, I was still going through the motions of my time with Jesus. I was doing like my daily Bible plan, reading the Bible in a year with Nikki Gumbel. And I was ticking it off every day, you know, because like just to make sure I like to get the task done. But really, I wasn't allowing the truth of God's word to penetrate in my life. I was going through the motions of spending time with Him, but I wasn't really being with Him. And, you know, I had to take that moment to be intentional in putting things in place where I was intentional, continuous and consistent in being with Jesus. Whether that was spending 5 minutes worshiping in my bedroom, whether that was engaging in worship, praying in tongues while I was driving to work, whether that was reading the Bible or a Christian book just for the sake of reading it, not for the sake of being like, yep, I've ticked my box today, I've done my Bible plan. And, you know, as I did this, I found the weight lifted. That the season didn't change. It was still as busy as ever. But something had changed in me. See, I was no longer relying on my own strength. I was relying on the strength of God to enable me to do all it called me to do. Being with Jesus first enabled me and helped me to do for Jesus or do with Him. So friends, can I encourage you today? If we think about the postures, being with Jesus, sitting at His feet, it's so important. Doing for Jesus, serving the Lord in all we do, it's important. There's a duality to it. They are both important. My prayer for us today is this, that we prioritize being with God so that in His strength, in His grace, in His ability, we can do with Him and we can do for Him. Before I wrap up this morning, perhaps you're here today or you're watching online and you are still on this journey of discovering or finding faith. Maybe you grew up in church, maybe you've been to church before. But you know, you're here today and you're like, I'm looking for something. You know, the first step in being with Jesus is one where you acknowledge you need Him. Where you say sorry for the things you've done and ask Him to lead your life. Jesus died on the cross for you and I so we could be restored to right relationship with Him, so we could be with Him. And this journey of finding faith, this journey of finding faith in Jesus starts with the prayer. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. See, the first step in being with Jesus, in following Him, is a prayer. A prayer that says, declares with your mouth that, yes, Jesus, you are God, and I believe that God raised you from the dead. In a moment, I'm going to pray that prayer, and I'm going to get the church to repeat that prayer after me. So if you're here in this room or you're watching online, and you haven't said that prayer before, perhaps, you know, at one point you said it, but you know you've been off doing your own thing. If you would like to be included in that prayer, I invite you to repeat that after me. It's one of the greatest prayers you'll ever pray, a prayer of saying, Lord, I need you. I want to follow you. I want to be with you. So church, would you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I thank you that you went to the cross for me. I declare with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. And I believe in my heart that you died on the cross, you were buried, and you rose again for the forgiveness of my sin, so I could know you, be with you, and walk with you. Teach me your ways. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.